Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, we're learning to unite our mind, body, and soul for God's purposes.
There are various components to what make us an individual or make us a person. He mentions first the spirit, second the soul, and third the body. If we don't understand the fact that God wants to sanctify all of us, not just a part of us, then we'll miss the mark.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago and President of Moody Bible Institute. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Well, today we're winding down our Defiance series, and Mark, as you reminded us at the end of yesterday's program, the Bible says we're made up of body, mind, and spirit, and they need to work together, don't they?
Yes, you know, they do. And the picture that I always have in mind is of a team of climbers, that they are held together by ropes. Mm-hmm. And if one falls, hopefully it'll hold them up. But sometimes one falls and drags the rest down. Ooh. And that's the way it is with our body, soul, and spirit. Both our victories can be dragged up by those three, or our defeat can be pulled down by those three. And so this is a powerful passage and with some great, great insights.
Again, this is the last message in our series. It's called Reclaiming Your Whole Person, a lesson from the book of 1 Thessalonians. Let's jump in. Here's Mark Jobe.
I'm going to be reading out of verses 23 through 28 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm reading out of the New International Version. And it says this: May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. As Paul is wrapping up his time in this letter, speaking to the Thessalonians, he has the most powerful exhortation yet at the end of his letter. Sometimes when you write a letter, you save the best for the end, right? The final punch. Paul is actually challenging them with a concept. And I want you to see what he says in verse 23. He says, May God Himself, the God of peace. Now, there's a word in the Hebrew referring to peace that's shalom. This is not that word. That word refers to wholeness and righteousness and justice. This word actually in the Greek is the word for harmony or tranquility or peace. So may the God of harmony, you know what harmony is? Harmony is when you take distinct elements and make them mesh into one. When voices harmonize, they may have someone sing the melody and someone sing the alto harmony and someone sing more the bass harmony. And although they're different parts, they all work together so it sounds right. It sounds good. They're working together in harmony. This is important to understand because he's about to explain to us how we can harmonize our body, our soul, and our spirit. And he says, may the God of harmony, the God of peace, sanctify you. The word sanctify comes from the word saint. And the word saint comes from the word holy. And the word holy means to be set apart for a purpose. So may the God of harmony set you apart for his purposes through and through. Now, sometimes we don't quite understand the word sanctify, and let me illustrate it this way. You may have something special that is set aside for a certain occasion. For example, a wedding dress. You know, ladies, you have dresses in your closet that you, a dress that you wear to work, or a dress that you wear for an evening on the town out, or whatever it may be. You have various dresses in your closet. But there's something about a wedding dress. A wedding dress is something that you make for a special occasion and you set apart for a special occasion. You know that it's special. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen someone just kind of wear their wedding dress to church that wasn't their marriage. So they just kind of walk in with a wedding dress. Oh, that's nice. What is that? Oh, my wedding dress. Just thought I'd wear it to church this Sunday. Never seen that. Well, the word sanctify is the same way. You may have a lot of dresses, but you have a wedding dress that's set apart for a special occasion called your wedding. When God sanctifies us, He sets us apart for a special purpose, which means us doing His will. We're not like every other dress in the closet. We have been set apart for the purposes of God. We are a people that are set apart to do the will of God. We're not like the rest of the world. We're not like the rest of the community. We're not like the rest of the population. We have been set apart for the purpose of God to do His will according to His design. And that's what it means to be sanctified. So now the Apostle Paul tells us that God has sanctified us through and through. Now, he goes on to describe what it means to be sanctified through and through. Because in the next verse he says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The thing about you as a human being and myself is that we are not unidimensional. In other words, there are various components to what make us an individual or make us a person. And sometimes if we don't understand the fact that God wants to sanctify all of us, not just a part of us, then we'll miss the mark. Some people understand the part of sanctifying their spirit, but they don't understand the part of sanctifying their body or sanctifying their soul. In fact, I want to describe it a little bit better to you, and in order to do that, I need three people to help me out. I'm gonna get three men, okay? Yeah, just three men to help me out here. All right. So let's just say you could just stand in a row here. Let's just say that this is George. Now I know it looks like three men. Three people. But let's just say that George has three parts to him. George has a spirit. George has a soul. And George has a body. George is not just a body. George is not just a soul. And George is not just a spirit. If he's going to be sanctified through and through, it means that his spirit will have to be set apart unto God. His soul will have to be set apart unto God. And his body will be set apart unto God as well. Now, if you notice in Scripture, the Apostle Paul says, may the God of peace, may the God of harmony set you apart through and through so that your soul, your body, and your spirit are functioning in harmony, but they are sanctified. They're working together, but they're sanctified. One is not pulling against the other. He's the God of harmony, making it all work together. But may God sanctify, the order he gives us is this. What does he mention first in this passage? What is it? Spirit. He mentions first the spirit, second the soul, and third the body. Now, I believe that there's a design for that, because I'm convinced that many of us run our lives in what I would call a fleshly way. According to the world and the flesh, what drives your life is your body, the cravings of your body. You get hungry, you want to have sex, you want to feel good, you want to sleep. And those are the cravings of your body. Is there anything wrong with those cravings? No, nothing wrong with those cravings. If those cravings are unrestrained, a married man will be having affairs on his wife. If those cravings are unrestrained, an individual will fall into the addictions of alcoholism, drug addiction, or whatever, because those cravings are unrestrained. So if you are driven by your body, how you make your decisions is what your body is telling you. What are the biggest cravings of your body? And then your soul. Your body is made up of your physical element. It's what you see in the mirror, your blood, your bones, it's what houses your soul and your spirit. Now, your soul is inside of your body. The only time that your soul and your body separate is when you die. When you die, we've all been to a casket, right? And we see the body of someone that dies, the lifeless body of someone that dies. That body that we put in the cemetery, and some people are worried, they think, well, you know, I don't want to spend cold winters in Chicago in the cemetery in a dark place. Please bury me in Florida, it's warmer. Well, you don't need to worry about that. Because your soul and your spirit, the moment that you die, they vacate your body. And all that's left behind is what you used to live in. It's like an old house you used to live in, but you no longer live there. Now, is it important? Yeah, it's important. In fact, the Bible says that at the resurrection, the elements of your old body will be resurrected as well. When it talks about the coming of Jesus Christ, it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. In other words, your body, bodies will, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, you remember that the day that Jesus died, there were people that came out of their graves and walked around. Do you remember that obscure passage in Scripture? The Bible also tells us that when Jesus Christ comes again, that the dead in Christ will rise first. In other words, God wants to take whatever's left of your body, whatever's left of your body will not be left on earth. God will take whatever's left of your body and sanctify it and glorify it because you are an entire person. But for now, when you are buried, you're buried in the grave. People say, well, Pastor, should I be buried? Should I be cremated? Is it okay to be burned? Is it not okay? Because, you know, the Bible says dust to dust. Listen, whatever happens to your body, if you get thrown in the water, the fishes eat you, you know, and you're in a shark and a whale in piranhas, it doesn't matter. You're dead, period. It's not going to confuse God as to how it works, okay? Whether an ant eats you or a caterpillar or whether you're cremated, it doesn't really matter what happens to your body. God can keep track of it at the resurrection. Don't worry. He's smart enough to do that. But your body houses your soul. Now, what is your soul? Your soul has to do with your intellect, your emotions, and your will. Your soul has to do with your personality, what makes you you. It's how you think, it's how you process data, it's what we call your heart, it's how you feel, it's how you make decisions. That's your soul. Your soul has to do with your thoughts and your imagination and how you process that. That's the intangible part of you called the soul.
Listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Let's pause for just a moment. Coming up at the close of the program, I'll tell you how you can get a copy of Charles Spurgeon's book on finding peace in life's storms. Mark, I wanted to pause because I'd like for you to hear this comment from a listener who says, I was listening to a message that got me really encouraged to begin a ministry of spreading hope. I want to be used, but I'm having a hard time finding other disciples. I've been lukewarm for several years due to falling into sin in my 20s. Your sermons gave me hope and encouragement that the church is the believers bringing light to darkness, and it's inspired me to start a street outreach and ministry of my own.
I love that response. Basically, what this listener is saying is I've heard the Holy Spirit shaking me somewhat out of my lukewarm state and mobilizing me to say, now I can do something with my gifts. Mm-hmm. And I want to say, I believe that every single listener, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are called to live on mission with Jesus. Now, that calling may look different, but some people are stalled out because of, like this listener said, because he fell into sin and maybe guilt and lukewarmness had paralyzed him. But as his heart starts to revive again, he's saying, now what can I do? Mm-hmm. And I love the response of this listener.
In his case, he wants to start a street outreach, which we really commend.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And often in these difficult times, God is moving us out of our comfort zone and into places of ministry. So I love that response.
All right, well, let's return to the message today now from Mark Job, reclaiming your whole person.
And then we have the spirit. The spirit is different than the soul, and some people confuse the soul with the spirit, but they're two separate elements. The spirit has to do with that part of you that communicates and relates to God. There is a spiritual world out there that the body is not aware of. It tells us in John chapter 4 that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You're born with a spirit. When you are born as a baby, you're born with a body, you're born with a soul, and you're born with a spirit. When you're born with a spirit, that spirit causes you to be able to be sensitized to the spiritual world out there. Do you realize that there's a whole spiritual world as we speak right now that we cannot see, but it's as real as the physical world? You feel it and sense it in your spirit, but you can't see it or touch it with your senses. God is a spirit. And the only way that God communicates with us typically is through our spirit. We hear the voice of God. We learn things. We can't quite describe it or explain it because it's in the spiritual realm and it's not in one of the sense realms, but God speaks to us through our spirit. There's also other spiritual beings that are there. Angels are spirit beings that you cannot see with the naked eye, but they're servants of the Most High God. There's a dark world out there in the spiritual world called evil spirits or demons that also affect and influence the spiritual world that you may not see, but you can be oppressed by them. You can be attacked by them. You cannot explain it with your physical mind, but it is sensed and experienced in the spiritual world. Now, sometimes what happens when God starts sanctifying us, because here it says, may God sanctify you through and through. What happens is some of us get stuck on one of the parts of who we are and neglect the other parts of who God has made us. People get stuck on certain elements, and I've seen churches get stuck on certain elements. For example, some people, all they notice is the spirit. And if you go to a church that's all about the spirit, but it's not about the soul and about the body, they believe that everything is only in the spiritual realm. So if you go to a church like that, everything's about you experiencing the spirit. So if you go to a church, it's usually high-powered church, and the goal is, can you experience the spirit in your being? Can you feel something supernatural? When they deal with something, it's always a spiritual thing. For example, someone may come and say, Pastor, they come to that church like that and say, Pastor, I'm struggling with smoking cigarettes. I've tried to quit for years and years. I haven't been able to quit. And the pastor usually say, it's the spirit of nicotine. We got to pray over and cast out that spirit of nicotine. Someone else says, you know, I'm struggling at my job and you know, I lost my job because, well, why did you lose your job? Well, I showed up 10 days late in a row, and so they fired me. And they may say, well, it's a demonic attack from the enemy and to take away your job, and it's the devil that took it away. And everything, someone may be struggling with parenting and not really know how to parent their child well, and they may bring their kid, and I've had this happen to me sometimes, a couple times actually, where someone brings a 13-year-old and says, Pastor, you got to cast the devil out of this kid because, you know, they're just disobedient and just can't. and seriously, like, cast the demon out. And if you come from that kind of background, everything's the devil or a demon or the spirit. Everything. You have an ingrown toenail, and it's, you know, the demon of ingrown toenails. And nothing is physical. Nothing is of the mind and the soul. It's all just spiritual. People that are fixated in the spiritual realm, they don't want to work on their mind and their emotions or their body. They just want someone to pray a magic prayer over them to change them. If they're having marital trouble, they don't want to go to marriage counseling. They just want someone to pray over them. The husband wants someone to pray over their marriage and wants their wife to magically be changed through a prayer. But they don't want to go to counseling, and they don't want to work on their relationship. Why? Because they're one-dimensional. It's all about the spirit. Now, our spirit needs to be sanctified, but our spirit needs to be balanced by the soul and the body. Are you tracking with me? Now, you may go to another person, and they ignore the spirit. To them, the spirit is just a bunch of fairy tales. It doesn't really exist, and they neglect, and nothing is spiritual to them. Nothing is demonic to them. Nothing has any spiritual influence, and it's all about the soul. And so if you go to a church like that, it's all about truth. It's all about principles. It's all about studying. It's all about counseling. It's all about your emotions and how they work. It's all about the mind. But usually there's not a lot of emphasis on prayer because it's really about the soul. And someone that is fixated on the soul, they never really want to pray about the spiritual world. There's no discernment. Nothing is ever due to the spiritual realm. They almost act like the spiritual realm doesn't really exist, and it's all about the mind and the soul and the emotions. And so church feels like one big counseling session. Then you have the body. If you go to a church that's all about the body, it's all about the physical. And so often those churches will emphasize healing, health, and prosperity. And it's all about the physical body, not about the soul and the spirit. And so there's an emphasis on how you're doing physically. Are you healed in the body? And if you're prospering in your job, then God must be for you. And if your wallet is getting thicker, then it's a sign of your holiness or prosperity. It's all about the physical. It's all about the body. It's all about the material. It's all about the now. It's all about just the physical realm. Now, none of those approaches are balanced approaches to Scripture. If we're going to walk in a balanced way before God, then we must be sanctified in our spirit. There is a spiritual world out there. And we must be sanctified in our soul, so our mind and emotions begin to think the right way. And we must be sanctified in our body as well. Now, it tells us in the following part of this verse, may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to be ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will have to be sanctified, body, soul, and spirit.
Concluding part one of the last message in our Defiance series, you're listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Job here on Bold Steps. And if Mark's message today prompted you to come to Christ and you'd like to know more about what your next step is, we'd like to invite you to reach out to us. You'll find us at boldstepsradio.org. Click on the link that says My Next Step. On our website, you'll find resources and tools designed to help you grow and mature, like our current Bold Step gift. It's a book by the late Charles Spurgeon that offers you plenty of encouragement and powerful tools to help you survive and thrive against the daily trials and temptations we all face. Charles Spurgeon began preaching at the age of 16, and his teachings provide direction to all those who are seeking true joy in the Lord. Ask for your copy today when you give a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps. Call us at 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. Or go to boldstepsradio.org. Now, if it's easier, send your donation and request for the book in the mail. Write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And then before Monday rolls around, be sure to sign up to receive our Bold Stepper Weekly. Let Mark inspire you this coming week with his latest Bold Step story and ministry update. This weekly email is delivered right to your inbox each Monday morning, and you won't want to miss it. Sign up today at boldstepsradio.org. I'm Wayne Shepherd, wishing you a wonderful weekend. Be sure to join us again Monday when Mark continues with his discussion on reclaiming your whole person. We'll be learning more about the process of how God molds each and every one of us into Jesus' image. It's part of our Defiance series, and you'll hear it right here Monday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.